got my bags packed and on a roll. I'm heading out there and I'm ready to go. Looking real good in my passport photo.
Amateur Traveler, episode 624. Today, the Amateur Traveler talks about museums and cathedrals, markets and ethnic food, tar pits, and the Hollywood sign as we go to Los Angeles, California. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen, and with no further ado, let's talk about the City of Angels. I'd like to welcome the show Wendy Lee from, and I'm going to have to read this, EmptyNestersHitTheRoad.com. And Wendy has come to talk to us about Los Angeles. Wendy, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
And it wasn't part of my plan to hit so many U.S. destinations right in a row doing Pittsburgh and San Francisco and Los Angeles, but Wendy pitched me L.A., and it had been quite a while since we have done a show. We did a two-part episode on L.A., oh, I don't know, years ago, 8 years ago at least by this point. So it is about time we went back there. Wendy, why should someone go to Los Angeles?
It's such an iconic city because of the film and movie industry. Mm-hmm. I think people all over the country and even all over the world have seen far more of L.A. than they even realize. Famous buildings, parks, shopping centers. So it's so fascinating how much of L.A. creeps into our daily lives, whether or not we know it. And I would say the other thing is the diversity. Now, most American cities these days are wonderfully diverse places. But in L.A., you get a great combination of Asian influence, all different Asian immigrant groups, combined with Mexico and Latin America. So those two groups have had such a huge influence on our food, our entertainment, and our music in L.A. that's made it really fun. I mean, there's a reason that bulgogi tacos were invented in L.A., because it's here that Mexican and Korean cultures crossed. So I just love that about the city.
Excellent. Well, and some of those neighborhoods really are right next to each other, as I recall, the Korea.
Totally true. And some just crossed over each other historically as well.
Well, yes. And you'll run into that. Excellent. And what kind of itinerary do you recommend for LA?
I'm going to do a very downtown centric itinerary.
Okay. Well, and downtown has changed quite a lot in the last few years.
It is so true. Your previous guest talked a little about downtown. But,
and said, don't go there or something like that.
he said not to go at night, especially, and not to stay there. And at that time, he was completely accurate. I would not have. My husband attended college at USC, and I go to visit him frequently. And anytime we wanted entertainment, we went to West LA. We avoided downtown. But that's changed. The restaurants, the shops, the cultural attractions, great new hotels. You know a place is up and coming or even already arrived when they have an ACE hotel open, which it did in 2014. So I now totally recommend a town, and I've stayed down there myself several times.
Excellent. So what are we going to do the first day?
I love museums, but one of my favorite ones opened in 2015, and that's the Broad, named for Eli and Edith Broad, two philanthropists and very wealthy people in L.A. who were very committed to contemporary art.
Okay.
And instead of donating their collection to another museum, decided to create their own. It's got an impressive exhibit of contemporary art. People like Keith Haring, Andy Warhol, Roy Lichtenstein. And one of the great beauties of this museum is that it's free. Oh. Their intention is that it will always be a free museum. Reservations are recommended in advance so that you don't have to wait in line as long. I definitely recommend that. But I think this is a great new museum. The building itself is gorgeous. The artwork's fabulous. They have free apps you can download on your phone that tell you more about the art and the architecture. They even have an app for kids. So this is a pretty impressive new museum on the Los Angeles scene.
And it is downtown based on our previous conversation? Okay.
It is. It is right in the heart of downtown and right in the heart of kind of a cultural area. If you enjoy theater, musicals, concerts, opera, right down the street from the Broad are the Disney Concert Hall, Dorothy Chandler Pavilion, Mark Taper, and Amundsen. So if that's your thing, you can see the Broad and see what kind of shows are playing in the evening and catch a world-class theater. So this whole little corridor right in the heart of downtown has become really the cultural peak of the city.
Well, and one of those, the what is the correct name? Disney Music Hall?
I call it the Disney Concert Hall.
Concert Hall? Okay.
Yeah.
I actually own a place in L.A. where my son rents from me, but I don't know L.A. that well. We go down and see our son, and I keep thinking I want to see more things in L.A., but have yet to do it. So people, when they see that building, will right away probably be able to guess what the architect is, because this is a Frank Gehry building that is made of folded steel sort of designs, as he quite often does. Apparently, he doesn't own a straight edge, as far as I can tell.
Probably very true. And it is a gorgeous building. Yep. They do a free tour of the building. I've taken it. I didn't find it very interesting, unfortunately. Interesting. Okay. So if you just want to walk by, past the outside and take pictures, you've got it covered. But that whole street there is really pretty attractive these days compared to what downtown LA in this area used to look like.
Okay. Where to next?
I'd go to the Cathedral of Our Lady of Angels. Hmm. Your previous guest mentioned this, mm-hmm. but something I want to draw to everyone's attention. This is not your grandparents' cathedral. This is a postmodern architecture.
Okay.
And it was done very intentionally. It was one of the newer cathedrals in the United States. It's now the seat of the LA Diocese. It is free to go see, and it's spectacular. If you kind of set aside your preconceptions of what a cathedral should look like and appreciate it for what it is and why it was built this way, I love it. But in particular, what I really enjoy inside are John Nava tapestries of the saints. So I think it's a great juxtaposition of this postmodern architecture with a very old traditional mode of art and tapestries. There's such a fascinating project that they actually made a documentary about this called Divining the Human, the Cathedral Tapestries of John Nava. Pretty spectacular to see. He used modern day models, real life people, who he believed would have looked like that saint during their lifetime.
Okay.
And then from those paintings had tapestries made in Europe. So very fascinating part of the cathedral that I don't think gets enough attention.
It wasn't on my radar at all.
So. Yeah, it really isn't for a lot of people, and which is unfortunate because it's again, it's free. And LA's not an inexpensive city to visit. So I always like to highlight for people and my readers that there are really some really high quality things you can do for free.
Excellent. Where to next?
Next, I would move on, because you might be hungry for lunch by this point, or dinner, depending on how your day is scheduled, the Grand Central Market.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
This was built in 1917, originally literally exactly what it says. It was the marketplace for everybody who, working class folks who lived in this area, selling produce, meats, liquor, spices. But it has since been revitalized to become a food hall. It is packed with some great food, a lot of great ethnic food. Some of the longtime vendors there I love, there's a place called Tomas's Tacos, and Saracita's Pupuseria, El Salvador and Pupusas.
Okay, I was going to say El Salvador, right?
Yeah, both. And you can tell that it's fun. You can kind of go through. You can pick out which vendors have been there a while, which have come more recently with the really modern-looking food stands.
Well, and I think we've talked about pupusas on other shows, but if people have not heard our shows on El Salvador, for instance, a pupusa is very similar to a taco, but a smaller corn tortilla and might have different toppings.
Yes. And so Saracita's, many of them are stuffed. So it's almost like if you could cut a tortilla in half and stuff it. Really interesting place. Very popular. And it tends to be popular. You can tell it's more of a local crowd. Mm-hmm. So this place has the trendy stalls where the 9-to-5ers go. And then you have kind of your older stalls where the more locals know. So it's a really interesting kind of division of what interests people. But I love that place. Absolutely packed and is always opening something new.
Okay.
But also what's really fun about Grand Central Market, right across the street is this famous little site, kind of odd, called Angel's Flight. It has the distinction of being the world's shortest railway. It was opened in 1901, and it was built so that the wealthy residents of Bunker Hill wouldn't have to walk upstairs. They could sit down in this little railway and ride up. It's painted bright orange now. Over the course of the years, it's broken down and been refurbished and even moved multiple times. But it reopened in, 2017. Okay. And I got to be there on opening weekend, which was really fun. So
and
it's only a dollar.
Funicular.
Yes. Going it's up only a dollar slope. To go up and down. Mm-hmm. This has been, and when you look it up on Wikipedia, it's been in so many movies and TV shows, it's ridiculous. So most people have probably seen this at some point if they're movie fans and never even realized it. I saw it recently on an Amazon show of Bosch. A murder was committed on Angel's Flight. So LA movie and film people love to include this in their shows.
That's interesting because I didn't recognize it. So now I'm going to have to look up the Wikipedia page and see where I've seen it from.
Yeah. Sometimes it's just inside the film.
Okay.
As opposed to outside. And it wasn't always painted bright orange.
Okay.
So it's had different colors of it. So it's had multiple lives. So it's kind of a fun local little thing. Then I would move on to the Arts District. Now, this is kind of attached to downtown LA, but these days it's being called the DTLA Arts District. It was originally the citrus packing area of Southern California before that whole industry moved south to Orange County, where I live. It picked up and moved, and it left all these abandoned warehouses, which for many years were either vacant, attracted a lot of homelessness. Eventually, though, it became a popular area for artists because the rents were so cheap compared to anywhere else in Los Angeles. And since then, it's really taken hold very, very organically with a lot of great street art and galleries. And then more recently, all the trendy shops and boutiques and coffee shops have moved in.
Raised the rates and driven out the artists, I'm assuming.
Yes, which is such a huge issue in Los Angeles and so many different parts of it. I know that's always the flip side of that. Mm-hmm. If you enjoy street art, I'd recommend doing a tour. You can Google these. There's several companies offer these, because these murals, a lot of them have quite a bit of history as well as reference to social activism. And I think you'd miss a lot of that if you didn't have somebody with some experience guiding you through those.
And I've done street art tours in a couple different cities. I mentioned it on the show before, but in Toronto and Buenos Aires, and they were just fabulous when you've got the right guide who knows more than just the art, but the background and the artists and the sociology and all of that sort of things of street art. It can be fascinating. So
yeah, I really recommend it. It's the first time I ever took a street art tour was here. Mm-hmm. And now I want to take more, because it was just the whole concept of it, moving from graffiti to street art. Mm-hmm. And in many cities now it's actually legal if you get permits. So it's not quite the outsiders that they once were, but it's interesting to know how that came to be.
Well, and even just the definition of graffiti and things like that, I didn't know that it involves writing. And it's right there in the word. But the difference between street art and graffiti and all the different evolutions of it as the artist progressed and the art changed and things like that. Yeah, fascinating thing.
Yeah, I love this area. However, if you're not as into art and museums and historic sites as I am, or you just need a break, also in the Arts District, there's a great little place called the Green Bar Distillery. And this is a craft distillery where you can take tours and tastings, which I enjoyed. You can also do cocktail tasting classes. And on a hot day in LA, this was a great place to step inside and cool off. They give a great tour. I mean, they really are passionate about their art of distilling. So right there in the heart of the Arts District, if that's something that you enjoy, I would highly recommend it.
And what spirits are they distilling there?
Quite a few. They do tequila, they do rum, they do vodka, almost all over the map. And they're not inexpensive because they do use organic ingredients. Mm-hmm. They distill for a long time, so they tend to be your higher end liquors. So, but really good. Again, they're quite generous with their tastings, which was a lot of fun. It was a fun tour to be on, as you can imagine, by people's fourth or fifth tasting. A couple things I want to mention about downtown. I don't want to mislead people. There's still homelessness in downtown LA. So there's so much to do, and this is such a revitalized area, but you will need to exert some caution, because unfortunately in the revitalization and gentrification has come the pushing out of people who are on the margins. So just, you know, exert caution in downtown LA when you're there, because you will definitely still unfortunately see some tent communities and such.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we didn't mention that in last week's show about San Francisco, but the same thing there, in part because these are warm weather cities.
Yes.
LA, so even more so than San Francisco, but when you don't have snow and things like that, I volunteered one day with a homeless project in San Francisco, and there are people who just really have no intention of, there are people who are temporarily homeless and then people who have no intention of ever moving inside again.
Very true. Very true. It's an interesting population. City of LA is trying to address it, and it can throw some visitors. Definitely. On one of my walking tours, we had a very disturbed man babbling while walking down the street next to us for a little way. So exert caution. Overall, it is a relatively safe place. Mm-hmm. If you are staying downtown, if you've chosen to stay in a hotel, which I would highly recommend, and you're in the evenings, one of the newer, trendier things to do in Los Angeles is to check out the rooftop bars. Mm-hmm. Now, I've seen this in many U.S. cities. This is becoming increasingly popular. But in L.A., it's really had an explosion in the last 5 years, which is a great way to see the city lights at night. There's several. There's been great articles written about all of them, but my current favorite is Perch, because it's actually located in a historic building in Los Angeles. So it's not quite as tall. You're not going to go up 75 floors or so, but I think it's a lovely building and a lovely view of Los Angeles at night.
Well, and we should say LA as a city is not all that tall in general,
true,
compared to Chicago or New York or whatever. It is spread out. It is huge.
Yes. Yeah, we don't do the super high buildings here. That's a great point. I kind of forget about that because there's always been so much land here. People just keep sprawling as opposed to building straight up.
That and we shake occasionally.
Yeah, that too. Gosh, I'm so used to living here, I kind of forget about that.
I mean, not likely that you'll experience that while you're here. I haven't experienced shaking in California, felt it in years, but we do occasionally have earthquakes. I don't think it should slow you down from visiting any more than the fact that Miami has hurricanes. But the only difference is you can't avoid earthquake season.
True.
We don't know when that is.
So true. Next, I'd like to go to Oliver Street.
Oh, good.
My family, when we first moved to Los Angeles over 30 years ago, and my mom discovered Olvera Street, we can't go to the city without going to Olvera Street. It's just not allowed in my family. So much so we get tired of it sometimes. But so this is a popular shopping and dining street in Los Angeles, right across the street from Union, the train station. And it is a part of El Pueblo de Los Angeles Historic Monument. This is essentially the birthplace of Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And in the middle of it has developed this great little shopping street with Mexican stores and shops and taco stands. It can appear very touristy at first, but there's a lot of authentic offerings here. Some very authentic food, some great craftware if you do a little digging beyond the obvious shops. And just so, when I mentioned earlier the diversity and the influence of Mexican Americans in LA, this is the perfect example of that.
Well, and when we say the influence of Mexican Americans, they were here first.
Yes.
Mexican or Spanish state that has been influenced by Anglos. So we need to remember that that at one time this was Spanish speaking California, obviously.
Absolutely. And this is it exactly. And this was interesting. I've been to Bolivar so many times, as I mentioned. Over time, many immigrant groups that came to Los Angeles, even pre it being LA, settled here. This seemed to be a popular gathering spot. So in addition to Olvera Street, you've had a lot of different group influences over 100 years or plus in this area. So it's got a lot of really fascinating history. You have several historic sites within this small little area and surprisingly six small museums, which a lot of people don't realize, packed in this tiny little area. Yeah. If I were going to Olvera Street, which I've done many times, I always figure out a way to eat. That is essential. A popular restaurant here is La Golondrina for sit down. You can't go wrong with any taco stand along the street. You just can't. And if you're not in the mood for a full meal, they do the traditional Mexican fruit stands that you'll see in many Mexican cities, with a fruit, with the chili spice and the lime juice, which I love. I find excuses to eat here.
When you say six different museums, do you have one that you like?
I do. There is a particular one here that it's quite new. It's called L'American Tropical. In 1932, a famous Mexican muralist, David Siqueiros, painted a mural on the side of one of the buildings here. He was commissioned to do so. But when he revealed it, it was far too political. And people...
Did people not know what Mexican muralists were like?
For people who aren't aware, Siqueiros was a contemporary of Diego Rivera and Orozco, who's very popular in Guadalajara. So, yes, this was a political movement of art. This wasn't
just
art. I don't know what they were thinking. They were surprised and devastated if you read about it. So almost immediately, they painted over it.
Oh, wow.
And then it wasn't rediscovered until the 1960s. But it was then going to take several more decades until the Getty Trust got involved and restored it. And now they've built a very small museum with a viewing platform so that you can see the restored L'American Tropical. I think it's so incredible. This old street in this middle of the birthplace of Los Angeles had this another layer of history that people tried to get rid of until literally the paint started peeling. And then they had to deal with it again. And thanks to the Getty Trust, it was restored, which is very expensive and very time consuming because it's quite large. So if I had to do just one museum, and it's free, this little museum is free, and it's quite well done. Very small. You can go through it in under 30 minutes, but really recommend that one. And I'd also recommend a quick spin through the Via Adobe. This is one of the original homes on Olvera Street, and it's a traditional adobe built in 1818. So if you've ever seen a true traditional adobe home, this is, and it takes 10-15 minutes to walk through.
Okay.
I think we've done a pretty good job of covering downtown. So what I'm going to recommend is next moving over to the Miracle Mile.
Well, and the one thing I would say before you leave Olivera Street is I'm seeing that there look like there are some festivals that are big in Olivera Street, although the webpage for it is labeled 2015 and we are recording this in 2018. So I can't tell you the exact dates, but it seems like Mexican Independence Day of the Dead and the Feast Day of the Virgin of Guadalupe are things when things will be happening down here in Olivera Street. I'm guessing, but again, the information on the website is out of date.
It's too bad because this is a very vibrant part of the city. If you go on a weekend, expect it to be packed with not only tourists, but also local Mexican-American families. It's got a great plaza at the end of Olivera Street, so it's busy. I wouldn't necessarily avoid it for that reason. I almost like it more for that reason because you're really seeing kind of real life in the area.
And you mentioned at one point, since we're talking about the original street in Los Angeles, that before it was L.A., so the original name is just a longer form of L.A. I'm looking, the official original name of the city is El Pueblo de Nuestra Señora La Reina de los Años, Angeles de Rio Por, I can't even read that. It's the name of the Rio. So it's the city of Our Lady of Queen of the Angels and the Rio Porcicula, the river Porcicula. And I know I pronounced the river name wrong, but it was just a longer form of Los Angeles.
You can see why they shortened it.
Yes.
So next I would move on to Miracle Mile. Miracle Mile is along Wilshire, which is a major artery of the city of Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. I don't think you can come to Los Angeles and not drive along Wilshire at some point. And the kind of midsection of, some people call it Mid-Wilshire, there's also Miracle Mile is the fancier name. This is a really interesting town, a part of the town that's also really offers more than it used to. It now has four museums within three blocks. Hmm. And in 2019, they'll be adding the fifth museum, the Academy Museum of Motion Pictures.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So for one parking price, because parking is not cheap in Los Angeles, you could have a selection of some pretty amazing and diverse museums. So I'll go through the ones I'm familiar with. The first one, I love this when my kids were little, the La Brea Tar Pit Museum. This is actually an Ice Age fossil excavation site in
this
the heart.
This is the Page Museum. Though.
Yes, yes. Me and my kids always just call it La Brea Tar Pits.
Yeah.
And it literally is a fenced off tar pit. It's still there. You can still see the tar pit itself. And then next to it is the great museum they've built that highlights the animals they've excavated, mammoth, saber-toothed tigers, sloths. It's fascinating. And then it also, this museum talks about the process of excavating from something as difficult as a tar pit. As you can imagine, that's no easy feat. When my kids were younger, we went here a ton. They were just never bored. So if you had elementary school age children, maybe even into junior high, depending on how they're doing, this could be a fascinating little museum to pop into.
I enjoyed it as well. So apparently I'm just a little kid, but
you also love history. So,
well, yeah. And
the history part of it is
the mammoth, for instance, is just, it's just huge. It really gives you some idea of what the animals of the, basically this is from the time of the last ice age, roughly, just ginormous, if I can use the technical term.
Yeah. It's still a live excavation site, by the way. Mm-hmm. So this is an ongoing process.
As I recall, you can peek into the lab, too, and see what's going
on. Yes, you sure can, which is pristinely clean, considering they're excavating from a tar pit. But, yeah, really fascinating place. The museum right next to it is, the abbreviation is LACMA. It stands for Los Angeles County Museum of Art. This is what they refer to as an encyclopedic art museum. It covers a huge range of different types of art. I love this place. I've been a member in the past of this. I liked it so much. So many great things. But even if you're not an art lover per se, it's even fun. They have an open area in the middle that's free. And there's a cafe and there's some great sculptures that anybody can walk through. One of the famous ones, you've probably seen this on Instagram, even if you didn't know what it was. It's Chris Burden's Urban Light. And it looks like hundreds of white light posts lined up. And at night, they light them up. I don't know about everywhere in the country, but in LA for a while, when this first came out, everybody had to have a picture of this on their Instagram. So it's made its rounds through that. But inside, too, some great, great exhibits, both in the permanent collection and their, you can always check their website for whatever their rotating exhibits are. But they're a large enough art museum to get some of the world's best traveling exhibits.
Well, and I want to give you a tough question here, which is, if you're not a huge art buff, but you're a little bit of an art buff and you have time in your schedule for one art museum in the LA area, there's this one. There's the one you mentioned previously downtown. There's clearly the Getty, and then the other Getty over in Malibu, and the one whose name I've forgotten up in Pasadena. If you could only do one, which is your favorite?
Yeah, and I have been to all of them because I'm a huge art lover. Getty. I would do the primary Getty, not the villa, the main Getty.
The one up on the hill above Santa Monica and right above the 405.
Yes, that is, I think it's one of the world's best art museums. When you combine the architecture, the gardens, and the quality of the art there, I think that's the winner.
I like the architecture and the quality of the gardens. I think it's a fabulous looking museum. I was less impressed with the collection.
May depend what they're showing at the time.
Yeah, okay, that could be. It is a beautiful, beautiful site.
Yes.
And again, a free museum.
Yes, yes.
Just gorgeous place to go. Even the parking is free.
Not anymore.
Oh, no, okay.
It is not. It is 15. If you take public transportation, they try to reward that. You get into totally free. But yeah, for the quality, I love the Getty. I love the Getty Villa too. But yeah, if you weren't as much in art, Los Angeles County Museum is not cheap. It's at least $20 or so.
Okay.
So if you're taking a family and you're not that excited about art, that could add up pretty quickly.
Right.
I've also recently discovered the Getty offers several free docent tours, which I've taken recently. Architecture, certain collections, the gardens. So the whole package, and plus free audio tours. So it's just an amazing wealth of free resources at the Getty.
And the Norton Simon Museum in Pasadena was I was trying to come up with. There's also the Pasadena Museum of California Art, but it's the Norton Simon that was the one that I was thinking of. Okay, I'm glad to make you pick one there. Now, you talk about taking public transportation. First of all, is that legal in LA?
It's becoming legal. It's becoming possible. Anytime I write about this city, though, I don't even bother writing about it. I give the city huge credit for working in this direction to build more public transportation. There's two problems. Much of it doesn't connect yet. The build like the Yellow Line, a huge artery. But until they build all of them, unless you're going just along that one artery, it's tough.
And when you say all of them, we're not talking about buses at this point. We're talking about the
Metro.
The Metro. I couldn't think of what the name of it in LA.
They have huge plans. Mm-hmm. Maybe in my lifetime, it'll be complete and you can go anywhere. Kind of like, you can't come to Los Angeles and think you can take the Metro like you do in New York or
right.
the BART in San Francisco is fabulous.
Well, it doesn't go very far into San Francisco, but there are trolley lines and things like that. Yeah, the problem with LA is it is just so darn spread out that we tend to need a car. That I would say you will enjoy the experience of driving in LA during rush hour, especially. But there's always traffic. If you can avoid driving in the 8 hours a day that are rush hour, you'll enjoy LA more.
For visitors, what I recommend, that's something my husband and I do when we go and take weekends in LA, take your car, park it at the hotel where you're going to be, and target the sites kind of around that and either walk it or Uber it. That's what we do. Because if you have to move your car, you're going to constantly pay for parking again.
Right.
And that's expensive. Plus, it's a hassle because you thought it was going to be two blocks down and it takes you half an hour to get there because you hit some traffic jam. And it's not an exaggeration. So it's close enough. Walk it. It's a pretty flat city. That's the beauty of it. Many of these places, it's flat. Or Uber it. At night when we've done downtown Los Angeles, we Uber between like dinner and wanting to go to a rooftop bar.
Right.
So the other problem with public transportation is not fully built out yet. Secondly, it's quite crowded because we've built it a century too late. So people have been waiting a century for us to build metros, and then they fill it up almost immediately.
Technically, a century ago, Los Angeles had trolley cars.
Yes.
They rip them up and burn them. But
basically,
they're getting back to what they had in the Red Line back before World War II.
Yes.
So there is some sadness there, but okay.
Yeah, kind of a crime when you think of what it's done to us in terms of traffic today.
Yeah, well.
We're getting there, though, but do not expect this public transportation up in New York, San Francisco, or Chicago.
And then the other thing we've talked about a couple times is weather. When do you recommend we go to LA for the optimum LA weather? I don't know the answer to this.
My preference, this is my preference for a lot of travel, is fall or spring.
Shoulder season, yep.
Yeah. Now, you could do LA, though, in the winter. mean much. So if you have the vacation schedule to travel more flexibly, my only recommendation is don't come here during the summer. This has been a particularly hot summer, and I've been traveling around to write about a number of things in LA and been amazed how hot it's been this past summer.
It's still not as humid as a lot of people who are listening from other parts of the U.S. are used to. A little more humid than Northern California, but warm.
Yeah. So if you have if you have to come during the summer, it's still a great city. There's a lot to offer. Mm-hmm. But if you do have the flexibility to travel anytime except June, July, and August, you're going to have a little lower crowds. I'd say starting in October, you should have something more manageable October through May-ish, I think would be ideal for both a little better crowd and a little more reasonable weather. And the nice thing is you could definitely come here in the winter.
Sure.
Winter might mean 65.
Well, and the one month you're most likely to get rain would be, say, February.
Yes.
But we don't get a lot of rain.
Unfortunately, yeah. I wish I could say we had a rainy season, but it's been very inconsistent in the last 5 to 10 years. I wish we had more rainy seasons, actually.
Yeah, we do have a fire season, though. But
yeah, which has added to the heat problem and the air quality this summer, unfortunately. So again, if you do have the flexibility to travel outside summer, I think you'll enjoy LA even more.
Okay. Well, I interrupted you. You were taking us to a museum right by the Page Museum, the art museum.
We went to the art museum. If that's your thing and you want to pay for LACMA, it's a great art museum if you enjoy art. Otherwise, down the street is a museum more newly discovered by me, and that's the Peterson Automotive Museum.
Oh.
It opened, it's been around for quite a while, but in 2015, they opened in a new building on Fairfax and Wilshire. It's a cool looking building. This is what drew me in. I think this is a very smart move on their part. It's a large red building with silver waves covering it. It's fascinating. And then I also discovered it was one of the highest rated attractions on TripAdvisor in Los Angeles, which really surprised me considering how much there is to do here. So I'm like, okay, I have to go. So I took my husband and my son this summer. Very cool museum. It has 3 floors of exhibits included in the admission price. You can do an additional tour of something called the Vault, which is in the basement, which I did not do. But the top floor is all cars and vehicles from movies and television shows, which is so much fun to see. I loved the convertible from Thelma and Louise. My husband enjoyed, there's a Batmobile and a Batcycle from one of the many, many different Bat movies. And on and on, that floor is just loaded with great historic cars. They tend to do rotating exhibits on the second floor, as well as a great little kids area. So this is definitely a museum you could bring younger school age children, because they had a great little kids area as well as some really fun car exhibits. And then on the first floor is an interesting combination of a large Porsche exhibit and a lowrider exhibit reflecting the Los Angeles lowrider culture coming out of the Hispanic culture that we have here. And these were some beautiful lowriders. These are, wow, they're pieces of art.
But do they show them in action? If you don't see the hydraulics, it's really not the same.
No, you don't. And I have. That's so funny because I've having lived here long enough, I've been in situations where all of a sudden you see all these lowriders show up. They're fascinating. I know. So it kind of misses that piece, which is unfortunate. That particular exhibit explores more the art of lowriders and the messages of the art on lowriders. So I was pleasantly surprised by this museum. So I would definitely recommend it. I can see why it's so highly rated.
Excellent.
Yeah. So, and then there's a craft and folk art museum on this same street. I have not been to that yet. So that will have to be something to come for me. And then I will also look forward to seeing the movie museum when it opens next year, because that looks spectacular. And if you're in the area and you need to eat, because you probably do by this point, you see, is this day 2, 3, or 4, whatever day, you can kind of divide this up how you want to go and how the traffic's flowing. You are very close to, at this point, Koreatown or K-Town. Okay. Mm-hmm. If you're hip, you call it K-Town. This is the largest population of Koreans outside of Seoul. So this is a serious Koreatown. And it's not what you might imagine if you're visiting a Chinatown in San Francisco, that it's very visually appealing and you know you're in Chinatown. It's rather sprawling, but if you enjoy Korean food, I would highly recommend making a trip here. My husband is Korean. We visited Seoul and Korea many times. And when we really want something authentic, this is where we go.
And what is his favorite restaurant in
this
Korea?
Is currently our both. I know. It's a toss-up. Usually, it's pretty rare that we both agree on the same one in Korean food. Because I don't really do a lot of spicy food. Mm-hmm. But this is, it's called Sun Nong Don.
Okay.
Sunnongdan. The famous dish there is called Galbi Jjim. And this is a stew. It's kind of a red, rich red broth with ribs. Let's see, potatoes, rice cakes, carrots. It's just a very savory, rich stew.
Okay.
And that's fabulous in and of itself. However, they have come up with their own American twist on it, and you can order it with mozzarella cheese on top. You can't find this in Korea. And then to make it even more interesting, they bring out a blowtorch to melt the cheese on top for you. So many, many, many young Koreans in Southern California have this on their Instagram feed, bringing out the blowtorch to melt the cheese. It's not a it's in an ugly little strip mall. When I was in college, this place was actually a Subway, and there were no Asian restaurants in this little strip mall. They're now all Asian restaurants, and they're quite good, and Sungangdam is this tiny little place in there. You can wait 30 to 60 minutes on a weekend for a table this place, but the food is excellent. If you're not into Korean food and you were hungry at this point, one of my favorite Mexican restaurants in all of Southern California is located in Koreatown. Again, the lovely mergers of cultures in LA. It's actually a Oaxacan restaurant.
Oh, okay.
From the
good
Oaxacan
mole, then?
Yes. It's called Gelaguetza, and they do all kinds of mole. They don't just do the mole negro here.
No. If you don't get seven kinds, then you're not really Oaxacan, yeah.
Exactly. You'll see the occasional non-Mexican here. Mostly, though, this is a very popular place for Mexican-American families to come celebrate special occasions. It's quite a large restaurant. It gets quite crowded and busy, so come be prepared to wait. Just be patient. Go to the bar. Get a drink. And I recommend they do an excellent mole chicken sampler. With several different kinds of mole. So if you're not familiar with all the different kinds, it's a great way to introduce yourself to all the variations on mole.
Excellent. Well, and the other place that I would recommend that's just a little further north from the museums you were at there in La Brea area is the original Farmer's Market.
Mm-hmm.
Again,
that's next on my list. That was
there we go.
Okay. Yeah. If you're going to go all the way to LA, sometimes it's just good to squeeze in all your favorite places because getting around the city is not easy. Yeah, the original Farmer's Market is great. Opened in 1934, and originally, like the Grand Central Market, originally was just meant to be a market to sell produce and meats and all that kind of great stuff, but over time has evolved into a food hall. It's a really popular place these days for food tours.
I can see that, yeah.
There's so many of these little small food and restaurants, and you kind of walk in and you don't know what to get. It's a fun way to get to sample a bunch of different places and hear the history, because there's some stalls in here that have been here a really long time. So this is a cool, fun place. They have a place called the French Crepe Company that is very popular with myself and my sister. They have excellent crepes.
Well, and I love one of the little bakery places there that I think it's a Jewish bakery. I can get my hamantash even out of season, which is very hard to find those. So
what's really fun, too, that I love this, and this is, for me, classic LA. Next door to the Farmer's Market, opened in 1934, is one of LA's trendiest shopping malls,
right?
The Grove. This has all your most popular stores, big name brand stores. This is not where you go for little artistic boutiques. It's a very popular location for filming. Episodes of Modern Family have scenes that have been filmed here. Actually, multiple scenes. I'm a big fan of that show, so I've seen multiple scenes filmed here at the Grove. Sometimes when they do kind of fluff news segments, like Christmas shopping season, they'll come film here.
Sure.
And my daughter even got to see Justin Bieber here. This is also a very popular celebrity spotting site. Many celebrities will shop here. I would recommend, if you had teenagers or even 20-somethings you're traveling with and you want to be cool, you want to be the cool parents, I'd take them to the Grove.
Okay. Excellent.
You could go enjoy the food tour at a farmer's market.
Exactly.
That's not my scene so much, the Grove, but there are some people who that would totally make their trip to LA.
Well, and you say not your scene. We're not going to cover, obviously, everything to do in LA because there's just too much to do. But we're also not going to cover some things because you are skipping them intentionally.
Yes.
What are you skipping intentionally?
I am not a big fan of going to the center of Hollywood, per se.
Okay.
What people think of when they go to Los Angeles. And I know that it's got to be a hard thing to say to someone maybe coming out of the country or traveling from a long distance. How on earth would you come to Los Angeles and not see Hollywood? If you have to see that, then go see it.
And so you mean Grauman's Chinese and the Walk of Fame.
That whole center of Hollywood.
It's cleaned up a little bit.
A little bit. You still get a lot of the random people dressed up in really ugly character costumes who want to charge you for pictures. I find that annoying.
Sure.
If you want to see the Walk of Fame, it's worth doing a little research. Is there a particular star you want to see? Because you could walk for a long ways and not recognize a single name.
Right.
And that can be very disappointing. So if you have to see it, go spend a couple hours.
So if I am a movie buff, instead of sending me there, what should I do?
I like the Paramount tour. I haven't done the Paramount
studio tour.
Yes, I would do a studio tour.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I haven't done one in years. It's kind of one of those things, once you do it, you may not go back and do it, but it's kind of cool to see. As opposed to like the theme park, Universal Studios. I mean, if you like theme parks, that's kind of a fun way to go see both some studio side and some fancy rides. But if you want to see more old Hollywood, I like Paramount because that is old Hollywood. For a previous job I had to be on that lot several times, separate from studio tours. So that is classic, classic old Hollywood. They still have the house
and
on there.
Still lots going on now.
Yeah, from Lucille Ball when she was married to. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there are some of the other studios do tours that I have not done, but I've seen some good reviews of. But I think that gives you a little more sense of the true industry as opposed to just seeing kind of grimy characters and costumes.
Well, and the Paramount one is closer to the area we're talking about versus the others that are up in Burbank or other places.
Very true. Yeah, great point. And that, for a reason, that used to be the heart of Hollywood.
Yeah, yeah.
All the celebrities lived around there.
Yep.
And then one other thing, people often think of the Hollywood sign.
Yep.
That's so iconic. I recently, for the first time, did the – there's a couple different hikes you could do. Mm-hmm. I did one of those hikes through Griffith Park to get a good view of the sign. I enjoy hiking, so I thought that was super fun. You don't get really close. You don't get as close as people think you're going to get. But right. I love Griffith Park. I parked at the place for the observatory, had a terrific hike. I thought it was a really fun day. Your pictures aren't as close as you hope you're going to get, so that's the downside. To get really close to the Hollywood sign, you actually have to hike up the back, and that's kind of an arduous hike. So if you didn't come to LA on your vacation to do a really arduous uphill hike, you're not going to be able to get that close to the sign. But if you had time and you really did, seeing the sign was important to you, I think I would go to Griffith Park because it's a great park.
Okay. And that is just north of Hollywood and up there in the hills, Griffith Observatory, been in lots of movies, the zoo and other things up there as well.
Great kind of urban park.
I think the last time I was there was for Shakespeare in the Park.
Oh, wow. My last visit there, I forgot how many cool things are in that park. So definitely worth a visit.
Very cool. What else should we not skip?
I think we mentioned it earlier, the Getty Museums, whether you have time for the main Getty Museum or the villa, pretty spectacular places. Head a little more west. Santa Monica is another great area. I'm not going to cover that length here, but many people envision a beach for Los Angeles. So if you do and you want to spend some time at the beach, I love the Santa Monica area. I think that's got some great shopping, great restaurants. They've got the pier. Mm-hmm. So if leaving LA without seeing a beach would disturb you, then carve out a little time for Santa Monica or even a little further south to Venice Beach. Both kind of iconic LA areas.
Oh, yeah. Well, and Venice, just an amazing scene.
Yeah.
With the Getty that you mentioned, the other one that is not the main one is in Malibu, and it is a medieval art, as I recall.
In recent years, they've done an I don't know if you really want to call it refurbishment is the right word, expansion. That place just gets better and better. You do want to be sure to have reservations for that. Parking is free, but you may need advance reservations. So double check the Getty Villa website before going. But it is a more limited space than the other Getty Museum. And Malibu is gorgeous. So I know that's the hard part with LA. It's hard to narrow it down because it is a spectacular, not only a city, it's almost more of a region, because really Malibu is a different city, Santa Monica is a different city, Venice is a different city. So it's really much more of a region.
Okay. And in terms of recommendations of places to stay, you were talking about downtown.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have particular hotels that you would recommend there?
The Omni Los Angeles.
Oh, sure.
I've stayed at. It's a great chain hotel, very reliable, but it's also right between the street where you have the Broad and all the theaters, and on the other side of the hotel is Angel's Flight and Grand Central Market.
Okay.
So you would put yourself in walking distance of several things, right in the center of everything. The new Ace Hotel looks like a lot of fun. If my brother, my 35-year-old brother, was visiting, I would book him at the Ace Hotel. Jason and I aren't quite so trendy. But it also has a theater at the Ace Hotel, and it has a rooftop bar. So that's one of the kind of trendier places in downtown LA to stay.
Okay. Weirdest thing to see in LA?
Hollywood. I don't think people are quite prepared for the Grauman's Theater with the handprints, the footprints, the Walk of Fame, oddly dressed characters, and just the kind of craziness of tours from all over the world. With tons of cameras and tons of selfies going on. So that is one of my craziest places to visit.
As we go to wind this down, you're standing in the prettiest spot in LA. Where are you standing and what are you looking at?
Downtown LA. I know it's a little odd because there's not a lot of nature in Los Angeles. from the perch rooftop bar at night, seeing all the lights. They're especially closer to sunset and see all the lights start to come on in downtown LA.
Okay.
I think that's just a beautiful, beautiful sight. And such, standing in such a classic historic building.
One thing that makes you laugh and say only in LA.
In LA, you'll see a traffic jam and you'll start to realize it's because of filming. Because they brought in all the trailers and
sure,
all the, the food trailers and the celebrity trailers and the chairs and all the lighting. And you, now I have to wait another hour. They've closed two lanes. So then you kind of throw up your hands. And, we live in Los Angeles.
Yep. Oh, yeah. And if you had to summarize Los Angeles in just three words, what three words would you use?
Definitely diverse, dynamic. The city is always changing and fascinating. I never stop being interested in what the city has to offer.
Excellent. And our guest again has been Wendy Lee from the Empty Nesters HitTheRoad.com. There'll be a link to that in show notes so you don't have to memorize that. Wendy, if we wanted to send people to your best LA post on your website, which I won't say again, where are we going to send them?
I have a piece in there, 2 days in LA, and that covers a lot of what I talked about in downtown. And from there, I have links to some other options to go in LA, but I think I'd start them there.
Excellent. Well, we'll definitely link to that in the show notes. Wendy, thanks so much for coming on the Amateur Traveler and sharing with us your love for the City of Angels.
Thank you so much, Chris.
Got an email a little while back from Adina who said, "Dear Chris, I discovered the Amateur Traveler podcast a few years ago and became an instant fan. When one episode a week isn't enough for me, I go back and listen to old ones. Recently, I decided to go back to the very beginning. It wasn't easy to find them, but I've really been enjoying them. It's fun to note the changes that have developed over the years, such as the debate about the theme song after you introduced it somewhere around episode 50 or something. I particularly enjoy the personal vignettes and episodes about your own travels, which were more common at the beginning. I was listening to episode 129, which was from about 10 years ago, and at the end of the episode, you read a letter from a young woman from Israel named Tamar. As you were reading the letter, something started to sound familiar. She mentioned her blog in the letter, but you said that you'd put a link to it in the show notes. I went to the link and was both surprised and delighted to find a picture of my daughter. I didn't even think I knew what a blog was 10 years ago, and I certainly didn't know that she had been writing one. That letter gave me a good laugh, and I've been chuckling about it for the past few days. 10 years later, and she's still listening every week. I'm pretty sure that hearing this letter read at the end of an episode would give her a good laugh, too. Thanks again for the great podcast, Adina, also from Israel." Thanks so much, Adina, and it gave me a good laugh as well. We remember we've got that trip coming up in May of 2019 to Africa, South Africa, Botswana, and Victoria Falls. So sign up for that if you're interested. Go to amateurtraveler.com/Africa2019. And with that, we're ending this episode. If you have any questions or you want to sponsor the show, send me an email to host@amateurtraveler.com, or better yet, leave a comment on this episode at amateurtraveler.com. And thanks so much for listening.
One more cathedral, I got to sit in one more cafe. I know that I should be heading home, but maybe not today.
You love podcasts. The stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcast-free today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcast-free.